Okay, today is the 10th of August. The speaker is Forrest Cottrell. The topic today is brought about by something that I have actually done in the past and have brought back again to reiterate because of how it has impacted my life in just the last couple of months. And I know there's a lot of individuals out there that have been praying for healing for some. And I've experienced that specifically in my life and those who are close to me, that absolutely nothing is impossible for God, and that all things are possible. And that's the topic for today. The purpose in this topic is to study to help answer the question of what is possible for God and possible for man through God's power. So if we start in Matthew chapter 19, verse 25 and 26, it says, "When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, 'Who then can be saved?' But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, 'With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" Now the word possible and impossible, you would think would be derivatives of each other, right? That it would be not possible. But that's not always the case. They're two totally different words. The word possible has to do, is actually dunamos, and it is where we get dunamis, which is power, and it means powerful or to be able, to be strong, to what's possible. The Greek word here for impossible is the word adonati, and it means to be unable or impossible. And it comes from another word, adonatos, which is a different plural form, and it means to be weak or unable, to passively be impossible and or impotent. So we have a expanded parallel to what I just read in Matthew in Mark, and I'm going to give you the full context of that because I think it's really important for us as we study and rightly divide that you do understand the context. Mark, who was one of Paul's traveling companions, it was John Mark, and he was a nephew of Barnabas. Or Silas, Barnabas. And so in Mark 10, verses 17 through 27, it says, And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him, this is the Lord, and said, and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit in eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." Notice that that's mixed in there, that that's honoring your father and mother is the same as not committing adultery, the same as not stealing, the same as not bearing false witness. So it's important. And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these things have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, "Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying unto themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus looking upon them, saith, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things, ta panta, all things are possible. In Luke 1:37, it says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. This is Mary, mother of Jesus, who, when the angel came to her, she said, "How is this possible? How could I deliver a child when I've never known a man?" And it says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." The same words are used, same Greek words are used that I noted above. In Luke 20:26-27, it says, "And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God." So all three of these gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all talk about the same parallel passage that nothing's impossible for God. That all things are possible for him. And again, same Greek words. In Romans 8:1-4, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So the phrase "for what the law could not do, in that it's weak," is adunatos, which is the same word for impossible or unable or impotent. So we see that these different phrases that we have, or words that we have in English, translate to the same Greek word. So why did the translators, when they translated from the Greek, from the Latin, from the Aramaic to English, why did they use different words? Well, that's a good question. It's because in the culture of the time, that's what made sense to them. That's why it's so important for us to rightly divide and go back and look at the Greek, the Hebrew, the Aramaic, as the case may be, and be able to ascertain for ourselves. In Hebrews 6:18, it says, "Wherein God will more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie." Oh, so there is something impossible for God. And that is that he can't lie. And by the way, if he can't lie, that means that all prophecy will come true. And if all prophecy comes true, then those who think that God is done with Israel, they're believing a lie. We might have, it says, it was impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Again, same word for impossible. In Hebrews 11:5-6, Ron talked about Hebrews 11 being the faith chapter. It says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him." So that's something for us to think about. We can't please God without faith. Doesn't matter what person, how good a person is. They give to the poor. They take care of the sick. They're really nice, kind people. The point is, if they don't have faith, if they do not believe that Jesus Christ was our Lord God and Savior, died for us and was resurrected, and that we have that same hope, then it is impossible to please him with all of our good works. "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So another word that is in the English that they translated, the Greek word dinatos, it is the word able or possible. In Hebrews 11:17-19, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able or possible to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So the word that's translated able is the same word that's translated possible. And you know, sometimes you think, well, you know, that's possible, meaning it might happen. But in this case, no, he is able. He can do it. That is the able. And in Mark, we see that. Mark 9:23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, it's the same word, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. That is something I think that each of us probably think, even if we don't say on a regular basis, Lord, I believe you are able. Help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. So he helped this young father with his child to cast out this foul spirit because he is able. And this individual said that he believed he could. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able, same word, to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So we can do good works because God is sufficient, because God is able. Not us, God. 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. What do you think those sound words were? Was it just about grace, about faith, about resurrection? You know, Paul had said those things to other people at other times. But to Timothy, he was telling him about this mystery. And I think that Timothy was given that knowledge so that he could teach others about it. That's the sound words that Paul handed off to him. In Titus 1:9, it says, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So again, we see that he is able. It is more than just possible. He is able. He can do it. Looking at this word a little more fully to be more than just possible, but to be able, Romans 8:37-39, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in this case, it's nothing can separate us because of the strength of the bond between God and man since we've been reconciled. Ephesians 3:19-21 says, "It's know the Lord Christ which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him is able to do exceeding abundantly of all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh this. Unto him be glory, church, by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen." Is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Is that just awesome? Above all that we ask or think. You know, there's some really smart, intelligent people that are incredibly creative. It doesn't matter what they think. It's even more exceedingly abundant above that. And that's a promise. That is what Paul told us we have available to us. Because it passeth knowledge, this love of Christ. That he has this fullness, the pleroma, the completely filled up cup, if you will, totally sufficient. That's what's available to us. Ephesians 6:10-17. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that he may be able, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto the armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." With this Word, we are able. With this strength, this power from God, we are able. Even when we think, "God, I don't have the strength to do this. I don't have the stamina to do that." We are able. We have to tap into that power and strength that God provides. And that is faith, that is hope, that is actually filled through on by the Lord. And back in Philippians 3:21, he says, "Who change our body that it may be fashioned like unto his glory, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." All these wiles of the devil he can subdue because he is able. He has the power to do so. In many cases, we're going to suffer tribulation, no doubt about it. We have a target on our back when we believe. And Satan's going to exploit that. Principalities and powers in evil places are going to exploit that. The rulers of darkness are going to attack that. Paul knew it. In spite of that, he went forward because God had told them that he would have to go to Rome to talk to Caesar. We don't know the outcome of that, but what we do know is that that was fulfilled, and who knows how many people were exposed as a result of that. Go to Matthew 6:13. A different word for able, having to do with power, having to do with, in fact, miraculous power, which is dunamis. Miraculous power, that resurrection power, that might, is translated in many cases to also be something that's possible. We have the power to do it. We are able to do it. In Matthew 6:13, it says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." It is the miraculous to something, to be able to do something. And therefore, we have these same derivatives. Matthew 7:22, "Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Dunamis. We have done wonderful works. We are able to do wonderful works. Why? Because of the power that he provides. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The power of God, the ability of God, the strength of God, the might of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For wherein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. The power of God is to everyone that believes. Do you believe? Romans 9:17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I may show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. My power in thee, my strength in thee, my might in thee, my ability, my can do. It's all the same derivative. 2 Corinthians 12:12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. We're able to do things. Ephesians 1:19-21. And what is exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? The power to us who believe. Again, it is about believing. Believing that he can do it with his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. The power to us who believe. I'm going to say it again. Do you believe? Ephesians 3:7. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Paul says, I'm a minister, but it's the grace of God, because I'm the least of the saints. I'm weak. I don't account for anything, but it's the effectual working of his power. He was just a vessel carrying a message. And what was that message? The fellowship of the ministry, which had been hid. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, be strengthened with the ability by his spirit in the inner man. So these are all the things, the power that he gives us today. Nothing's impossible for God. All things are possible for God. True. But he gives us that power so that things are possible. Things are making able. Yeah. Ephesians 3:20. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I know we just read that, according to the power, the ability that works in us. The can do, the impossible that worketh in us. Philippians 3:10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the dunamis power of his resurrection, the can do mighty, miraculous power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The power of his resurrection. That's what we have available to us. That's what Paul told the Philippian believers that they had available to them. Just a couple more references here in Colossians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, with all power, according to his glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering, joyfulness. Isn't that interesting, though, that we have this glorious power unto all patience or all forbearance, for all enduring, which is what long-suffering is. And yet you've got long-suffering with joyfulness. And the only thing I can liken that to is an athlete that prepares for a great event, and he prepares and he prepares and he prepares, and he suffers. He endures. He builds his stamina and strength. He finally runs the race. And though fully exhausted, he's endured. And whether he wins or not, he finishes. And that brings joy. I finished my course. I have fought the good fight. Colossians 1:29, wherefore I was made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery. The mystery fulfills the word of God, which has been hid from generations, from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, this mystery amongst the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, which we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily, which worketh in me with miraculous power, which worketh in me with strength and a can-do possibility, a I am able possibility. That's a confidence. If you say to yourself, I don't know if I can do this, you're probably right. You probably can't. If you say, I can do this, then all things are possible. If you say, I can do this in Christ, everything is possible. Philippians 4:13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how bound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me, who makes me able. That is the confidence that we need. It's not arrogance. It's not something we can be proud of that we did. Do all things through Christ. That's a life verse of two of my sons. And what's is so incredibly important here is that the all things here is the word pause, which has to do with the whole, with every. And the word strengtheneth me is the word in dunamo, where we get the word to empower, to make strong, to strengthen. Now, I just want to point out again that all things are possible for God except for one thing. There is only one thing that's impossible for God. We read it already. Hebrews 6:18, wherein God willing more abundantly show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have aspirations who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. It's impossible for God to lie. But his creation, Satan, for example, the father of lies. We, being part of that creation through Adam, we are predetermined to lie at some point in time. But for God, it's impossible. So I'm just going to give a recap here of the things that are possible for God. The power of resurrection, signs, wonders, and mighty deeds, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That salvation is only to those who believeth. He is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. He is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He is able to save them to the utmost come to him. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Excuse me. Counting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. The things that are impossible for men are possible for God. For with God nothing shall be impossible. With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. What has he given us the power, the might, the strength, the ability, the can-do ability to do? Well, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, that we may be able by sound doctrine to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Who are the gainsayers? Those are the ones that say that the resurrection is past, those deny the deity of Christ, etc. We are strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Now unto him able to do exceedingly abundant above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And with all might, according to his glorious power, and all unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. All things are possible to him that believeth, and can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That is such a powerful statement, if you believe it. And that's faith. That's trust. So with that, let me close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you have given us this power, this can-do attitude and beliefs and hope that goes beyond what we can see, but we trust that you can do all things and that we have that strength. Lord, thank you for strengthening us. Thank you for giving us your might through Christ Jesus, through your Holy Spirit, that we might be built up, edified, encouraged, affirmed, and that we can stand. We can stand faithful. In spite of the tribulation around us, we are strengthened and we grow stronger with every test and tribulation because we're being exercised for even a greater event that shall come in the future. And we know, Lord, that we believe on you and the power that you have, the power of resurrection. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name, our Lord, God, and Savior. Amen.